You just tell Zoom to do a virtual background and be full screen.
Oh, I haven't bothered messing with that. So I
New
just was trying to get
background, JJ?
OBS.
New background?
No, it's just Paul was mentioning how my green screen doesn't cover everything, but I used OBS to kind of cut everything down. And then, I have the fun things when I get the hell's that called? WebEx to play nice. Like I fuck with people when I do stuff like this, And
Just
then
have a slight green hue around you, like you've been abducted by aliens.
And then this is my favorite one when I'm actually in a call and I have no idea what's going on.
Holy shit, that's good.
Then, why don't you come into my office and sit down with
So what are you using to how was that face tracking your face, or do you just have your
No, it's
camera
just,
set so it's pointing it in the right spot?
yeah, it's just pointing in the right spot. It's
Yeah,
just
fair
a,
enough.
it's just an animated GIF, just like this one.
So you just set up a bunch of scenes and you're just clicking between the scenes. Yeah.
So, anyway.
Right.
So what's
Well,
going
that's
on, guys?
exciting. Oh, just the usual. I was just saying I'm back on my older Linux laptop for a bit, and it's even with just Zoom, it struggles a little bit.
Womp
So
womp.
I've been trying to get it set up. I may have solved it a little bit because I got my external GPU working. And so Zoom is, yeah, Zoom's using a lot less CPU with the external GPU running. That's good.
That's pretty cool. What are you using externally?
So I've just got a NVIDIA GTX 1050i hooked up through a, it's like a Sonnet external GPU enclosure. And so it's almost like a very small computer without the computer in it, and it's got a Thunderbolt cable then goes to my laptop and acts as an external graphics card.
And did you have to do anything to configure Zoom to know to use it? Like I
No,
would
it
mess with external GPUs
no,
though.
thankfully, it just knew to like, I think it knows to use whatever GPU you have if you have it. So it just started using it. But I was at like 120 CPU percent CPU just from showing my camera. And now it's down at like 20% or something. So it must be using my GPU.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
But that also lets OBS use my GPU as well and stuff like that.
Yeah, neat. How about you,
Yeah.
JJ? What's going on?
Not much. Just trying to take care of all the little random stuff I've been doing. I didn't actually make the tortillas last week that I mentioned.
I'm
But I have
disappointed.
been, yeah, I got hung up on doing some other stuff, but I have found a default brownie recipe. And I threw some, I made a nice base recipe with that, found a nice one, and then I threw in some butterscotch morsels in it, and it the whole thing vanished before I had a chance to do anything. So that's always a win. That's a win.
That probably means you did it right.
Working on your magic tricks too. That's pretty handy.
Exactly. So
Delicious. I love, oh man, brownies are so good. What is
yeah, they
it
are.
about the gooeyness that
That's
works?
the trick. It's got to be like just a little bit undercooked.
Right. Pretty magic.
Yeah,
Well,
if you
I'm
can
kind
get
of,
the, oh, go ahead.
you're good.
Okay, I'll go. No, you go. No, I'll go. I was gonna say, if you can get the edges a little bit crispy and the inside a little bit gooey, you've got like the perfect brownie. Have you had the JJ the Miles of Chocolates brownies from Whole Foods?
No.
Yeah, they are so good. I don't know
Really?
if it's like a Whole Foods like across the country or just Austin has them, but they're so good.
Nice.
Keep
My
that in mind.
default one, my favorite default brownie actually is the pot brownie from Freebirds. It's like a little, it comes in like a fake little pot, or like at one point they did. And it's a whole pun on obviously marijuana. But
Wait, what?
I know, right? I know. But for whatever reason, they've always just did it right. So it was good stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Freebirds definitely just own that like stoner vibe that they have.
Yep.
So it's like a super stoner version of Chipotle.
That's really pushing it.
Right?
Actually, it came from a place called College Station, which is where rival university is for Austin, which is quite funny.
Did you just well actually me?
I did. Sweet. And they did the numbers. There is 3,500 different variations of burritos you can get there.
That's sounds pretty pedantic level burrito. I don't right. think. Yeah. Yeah. It's like with and without jalapenos. Like, yeah. It's yeah. True. I've done exponential math as well. I guess that's factorial really. And that's really annoying. Yeah. But good, hey, good.
Speaking of things that are really annoying.
Tell me.
Matt, I heard that you've gotten into Clubhouse a little bit.
A little bit. I haven't since adding this to the backlog, but let me pretend to be as excited as I was a couple of weeks ago. I was really enjoying Clubhouse. I think it's there. I love podcasts, or I wouldn't be talking to you fools each week. But what's cool about it is like, it's this episodic experience of people. And I kept at first login, I was like looking for ways to message people and have other communications, and there just aren't. It forces this conversational aspect of the medium that I think actually complements existing social media as opposed to competes and gives you yet another place to be. So I thought it was kind of neat. You know, we all know the limitations of it being iPhone only, which tough call for a product team, but I think it's really molded the audience there. Like, they're missing so much of the open source and Linux community that I know well because they're only Android. And you know, Paul, you can't join in there from the likes of it unless you
I've got an iPad, so I could if I really wanted to.
Yeah, so it's just a general, you know, fuck these guys energy on your end.
A little bit of that, but also like I like podcasts because they're a little bit curated. Yeah. Whereas I feel with something like Clubhouse, it just ends up being like a free-for-all conversation. And that's not really fun unless you're like part of that free-for-all conversation. And then I always struggle with that whole thing of I never know when I can speak without like speaking over someone else. And I'm really bad at judging the gaps. So I end up just never speaking at something like that. And then I'm not part of the conversation, so it gets boring and weird.
Yeah. Well, so for those haven't been in there, there are two different forms of participation. There's like you're on stage speaking and then you're in the audience. So it really encourages people to just hang out and be observers if you want to.
Okay.
And then people, you are actively promoted to be on stage, which means you can unmute and say something. And there isn't like a tool that makes that obvious what you should or shouldn't do to speak. But I've seen some really good curators there who, you know, call on people. They'll actively mute people if they're going off when they shouldn't. But people seem to be pretty respectful on the channels I'm following. And what was pretty neat is that I noticed like a nuance of people. They'll flash their mute on and off if they're interested in speaking up as like a, hey, I'm raising my hand because there isn't a hand raise tool. And I thought that was kind of a cool, like just learned behavior of the medium. So it's as good as the think about like a birds of a feather at like OzCon. It's like those can be some of the most meaningful experiences of your life or the biggest trash heap of people trying to talk over each other. So it is a, you know, your mileage may vary medium.
Yeah.
So how did I, like, I've logged into Clubhouse. Is it something I should put my headphones on and like log in and then like put it down and just listen? Is it that kind of thing? Like, is it, how do I bring myself to be active in that community?
Yeah, you're like, how do I do? So yeah. I've used it in two ways. I've subscribed to, I forget the term. This is how much of a non-influencer I am. You can follow topics. So I'm in one of the topics. It's called The Week in Product. It's product management focused. I noticed some really interesting people were speaking there, so I subscribed to it. And then once you subscribe to one of these categories, you can add things to your calendar. They can schedule stuff ahead of time. You can see sort of a calendar of events, or you can just stick to the kind of standard follow back type energy and set notification levels for people. So most people I don't get notifications for. A couple people I really like on there, I get notifications when they join a room, and then I might hop in as well. So sometimes I've hopped in, listened to people I really like speak. Other times friends have hosted rooms. When I hop in intending to like cook dinner and stuff, they throw me on stage and say, "Hey Matt, how are you doing?" So I'm like unmuting and joining the conversation. But I do say like, it does feel a little wasteful compared to podcasting. Like it's just the episodic nature of it, that it's just, you have to be there or it's gone, is really dissatisfying to me. But of course there are already tools around there to record conversations if you want to, or you can use the China hack backup of the platform to go and download what was allegedly a private conversation. You guys know about that? There is a whole backup of everything that happened on Clubhouse using an open, like a public API. So you didn't have to be a member to get it. And, you know, people were grabbing all the data from it. So,
wow.
That's yeah, bad. That didn't go over too well. But yeah, that aside, I think it's pretty neat. But there's another thing it does that's a little funky. Anyone in your contacts, when they join, you get a notification saying, "Hey, do you want to jump in and teach them how to use Clubhouse?" Great onboarding, pretty smart. But I swiped up to look at what's happening, and before I knew it, I was in a one-on-one conversation with a guy that fired me in a past job. And I bet we both looked at the phone and said, neither of us want to be here, and just dove out as quickly as possible. But that's a strong reminder to delete your old contacts before joining a new social media platform. Pretty barfable.
Well, speaking of social media, my marketing team came to me and asked me to start a TikTok channel. And if you don't know who I am, I'm getting in my mid life. I have a lot of gray, and they asked me to start TikTok, and I went to a meeting about it, and I was like, "What the hell am I looking at?" So, you might find me on TikTok in the future doing little videos soon. So that'll be interesting.
So what's your time limit on TikTok again? It's like 30 seconds or something, right?
No, it turns out there's actually a lot of math involved. they target 30 seconds, and they target with music, and they target with like hashtags. But the max you can do is 60 seconds. But there's actually already a bunch of social like engineers, I guess is the term, that like watch social media and like figure out the trends and shit like that. And the max from 20 to 30 seconds is the most common way you can see someone will watch the whole video, which I thought was interesting.
So what how do you feel you would meaningfully sell IBM to 20 somethings in 20 to 30 seconds?
So it turns out that there's actually quite a few already like technology professionals using TikTok to reach out to that demographic. And there's a lot of studies going on around it where it's like snippets of like interesting things you do on a computer. Or one of the most ones that one person has done from Microsoft is he spends the 20 seconds showing all the shortcuts you can use with the Windows key. And he's like, do Windows L for lock or Windows R for run. And he shows it happen and he puts it to a little bit of music where he's gotten like 300,000 views on it because people were like, oh, I didn't know you could do that with the Windows key. So it's little things like that. It's
infotainment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I was about to say, there's an interesting thing I've been seeing lately where you'll see like news reports of trends on TikTok. And I feel like a ton of it is stuff that you used to see on, say, Life Hacks before Life Hacks became a trash fire.
Yep.
And so there was like a news article on the latest TikTok trend of using vinegar and baking soda to unclog your drains. And then they even had interviews with like a bunch of plumbers who were all like, yeah, that's what you do. Of course. Like everyone knows that, right? And I just find it interesting that like we have TikTok and we have a generation of people that are sort of learning this stuff from TikTok that others would have learned it from, I don't know, like WikiHow or Twitter or like from their grandmother or from Reader's Digest or whatever. So I feel like this, it's kind of that repeat of that sort of infotainment, but just in that new medium. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm still struggling to, I think the short format of it just really restricts the info portion of the infotainment.
I mean, you sound like somebody who says, how can anything ever happen 140 characters? That's inconceivable.
Well, that's, absolutely. And I'm absolutely
And that's wrong, fine. Right? I am over that many years old too, where I'm just like, I turned it on. I'm like, I don't want to watch all you people. Like, I want to read stuff, which is my bias. But yeah, people, I think it is doing what social media does, which is becoming this, you know, cacophony of information, and it ends up being like a news source for news people, which is disturbing due to, you know, just news at this point in time in the world. But it's not to take away from how interesting the platform is. And, you know, as I know, like Scott Hanselman on TikTok is doing his thing, which is funny and brilliant in the way that he always does interesting conversation around technology. But yeah, it definitely started out as just like everyone's flossing the dancing, not I should actually start a channel where I just floss every day.
That would be, you know, amazing.
That is a really good idea.
Why haven't I done that? I've flossed every day of the pandemic. That is my weird, I can't let this end. Yeah, I did it for a week and realized, I flossed every day. I normally like miss a day.
But right. Is it with the actual string or is it the little pick thing?
Oh, the pick thing scares me. Yeah.
Okay. No. Sorry, not the pick thing. Like the little half moon with the little
Little plastic thing.
That pick thing. Not like
I mean, if you're into if you're into destroying the environment, you can use those picks.
I live in Texas, man. Of course I am.
I mean, there's a lot of plastic waste.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that what Texas is built on?
Like, well, that's just true.
A floating turd of plastic waste and toxic masculinity. Much.
You're not wrong.
And misplaced Australians. I use the string one, which I'm sure kills some animal somewhere in the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. But my teeth are okay.
So I switched to using a water pick, and that's quite the exciting experience.
I don't know if I can handle that. Yeah.
It's fine. Like it's nothing compared to, like, it's not that crazy high pressure thing they use at the dentist. It's
right.
It's fine. Yeah. Like I have like plaque buildup that, like, even if I floss twice a day, it still somehow managed to build up. Whereas the water pick seems to do a better job of actually like washing the bacteria or whatever it is that sort of caused it to form.
Yeah. How long does it take? Teeth are really poorly architected. But
they really are.
The water pick, like,
yeah,
less time than flossing.
Oh,
way less time.
Oh,
Okay. Personal question: have you had cavities, and if so, does it hurt when you're around them?
I think I've got one filled cavity.
So,
and I don't really notice it.
If you don't notice, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Cool.
The only time it finger quote hurts is if you use like cold water, you need to like use water that's about like, I guess, like lukewarm blood temperature.
Yeah, like otherwise, a TikTok channel from IBM, lukewarm.
Right, exactly. You got it. Yeah,
cool. I love you, Matt. I love you, buddy.
Love you too. Hey,
now, JJ, just Brent to just
would
to,
eat shit just as hard.
Just to tie off what you just said, JJ, you said my marketing team. Does that mean you're not in marketing?
Correct.
You are a DevRel.
Yes, I'm not actually in marketing. Okay. That is one reason why I took this job, is that they put DevRel in engineering and at IBM. And I'm expected to be an engineer, and I have marketing resources that I can use whenever I need, but I don't report through the marketing team at all.
Cool. Hey, you know who else doesn't report to the marketing team?
Who?
This guy.
Nice.
Paul doesn't. Did you previously?
I did.
Oh, hot damn. I didn't know that.
Today was my last day, so I'm fun employed.
Mazel tov.
Yeah, hey.
Paul's a free agent.
Mm-hmm. I am a free agent.
If you're looking to learn OBS, he's starting his consulting firm.
It's true.
And or how to catch muddy guppies.
OBS gives me IBS.
That's a tweet right there. I think that's the title for this episode.
That's a life lesson. Hell well, yeah. Tell, how is it irritating you lately? Or are you using it at the moment or anything?
So not too much. I'm writing up a blog post on using it to do the DevOps Texas stream.
Cool.
Which is just actually mostly me trying to remember to take screenshots and write some words. But I haven't been doing too much the last few days, because last few days of a job, you generally try not to do too much work. I did have to call FedEx and ask them to come and pick some gear up. Mm. And I had that amazing experience of, so their system when you call is fully voice automated, right? And so you're like talking to it. And I don't know, I guess it's still really focused on people with American accents. And oh, really? So it was like struggling to understand me. It was really struggling hard to understand me. And so 10 minutes in, it was finally, I'm transferring you to an operator. And then of course,
say human, right?
Of course, their operators are offshore. And so we had the exact reverse problem where I couldn't understand their accent. And so, yeah, it was fun. But we got there. We got there in the end.
It was falling into the gap in society.
Right.
Did you see there's an SNL skit, I think, with Midwest Siri? That's no. It was named Cheryl. Like, hey, Cheryl, what's going on? Oh, yeah, you betcha. How you doing? How are the kids? I'm like, totally dead on exactly what I hear every day. Nice. So I feel for you.
If we had an Australian Siri, it would have been called Shazza.
The hell is a Shazza?
That's Australian for Sharon.
For real?
Yeah.
Shazza. I never met somebody by that name when it was there. Huh. Well.
Basically, any name you add like a or o or e at the end. So it's like Shazza and Jimbo and Briggsy and... Nobody has a real name there. You just kind of chop a couple of letters off and then add a vowel at the end.
I dig it. It's a system.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, speaking of systems, JJ, you're supposed to report back on the progress you've made with a bookmark/note system. Yeah, yeah. Tell us a little about it. And just for the listeners at home, the way I know JJ isn't looking at our show notes is how excited he was when I brought that up. So please continue, JJ.
I look occasionally, like every other week or so. let me report back. So I have stuck with LinkedIn, something like that, for my bookmarks.
What the hell did you just call us?
Link-a-ding, maybe?
Link-a-ding. You're a link-a-ding.
Is this like the predecessor to Delicious? Like, what year are you finding your bookmark system?
Yeah, right. It's a self-hosted little Go app that writes everything out to SQL Lite database. So it's really easy to back up. One of the things I was most worried about is backing up all my data. Because if I really invest in moving all my bookmarks and all my notes over to a Wiki system, and I want to self-host it, being able to recreate it, if something bad happens, I want to recreate from less than a day away, right? Because if I start using, for instance, the notes for this podcast, I have a button on my Stream Deck that brings up a notes page for me to start writing notes down. So I can put it into the podcast system. So I have this whole, the whole workflow set up, but I've landed on Bookstack as the wiki, really fallen in love with it. And I've found out how to recreate it and run it through Docker Compose and back everything up into Google Drive, which is cool. And then link-a-ding for my bookmarks, which is a little bit more static.
Are you saying link-ding? Because I found link-ding self-hosted bookmarks.
Yeah, that's it. That's cool. The one.
I like that you added an A in there to just give it some pizzazz. Well, from now on, we'll interchange link ding and link a ding, but we'll nice. We'll link you to it.
Nice. But yeah, it's been good stuff.
It looks cool, man.
Yeah,
I like it.
So, yeah. And most importantly, I have streamed this. Was me verifying my backups. So I've had this running for a little while now, and one of the streams I did was me verifying my Bookstack backup, because you have to pull a database out of a Docker container and upload it, and also get a bunch of files for pictures and shit like that inside of it. So there's a whole process you got to do it. And like every good sysadmin, when you run through your backup recreation process, if it works how you expect, you gain confidence in it. Right. So I did that, and I was really proud of that workflow.
I gotta say, it's starting to sound more and more like you're imminently going to end up having to put yourself on PagerDuty to support your home network.
Well, I have Nagios already email me when something breaks, yes.
I love it. Hey, Paul, accept it.
I'm just glad it's not me.
What do you think he should be using Prometheus and like having time series updates on his linky ding?
Oh God. His linky ding. Well, I mean, surely he should be using Linkerd to as a service mesh to connect his link ding to his home media wiki server, to his Plex, to his sick beard, to his couch potato.
Yeah. Send me a link to your ganglia. I want to see uptime stats.
I can show you my ganglia really right here. Hang on.
No. Oh God, Paul, put your pants on. Different kind of show. Cool. Literally anything else. Congratulations, JJ. Hey, Paul, how are your muddy fish?
They're muddy. So I've been trying to figure out what makes some fish kind of have that kind of muddy taste to it. And it turns out that some like actual scientists have done research on it. And there's a thing called geosmin, I'm not going to say it right. And it's basically a molecular structure or whatever that has like an earthy/dirty kind of taste to it. And you'll get small trace amounts of it in like drinking water sometimes. So if you've ever like drink tap water and there's kind of almost a dirty taste to it, it's probably that compound. Mm-hmm. And that compound is caused by, there's a few different things, but things like blue-green algae and other sort of like algal kind of bloomy things create it. And then the fish kind of absorb it because they're just swimming around in the water. And then the warmer the water, like the average warmth through the year, the higher the amount of things like algae and stuff, which means the higher concentration you get. And so generally speaking, fish from a warmer body of water will have more of it than not. And so that's why if you do much fishing, you kind of come to learn that if you're like eating fish from a cold lake, it tastes cleaner than from a warm lake, but you never knew why. And this seems to be why. And so it's geosmin, and supposedly it's counteracted by acid. And so I've been slowly going through like different ways of applying like acidic ingredients to the fish to see what I can do. But I've certainly noticed, so if you know Austin, there's the Colorado River, which is a different Colorado River to the Colorado River. And that runs through Austin and it's dammed up in several places. And that's what makes Travis Lake, Lake Austin, and Lady Bird Lake, they're all really just dammed parts of the river. And anytime I've eaten fish from those bodies of water, it's definitely had that muddy taste. And then the other day, last week, I went up to the San Gabriel River, which is just up about like 30 minutes north of Austin. And I caught some white bass there, and there was almost none of that taste at all. And so I think there's probably a water differential, but there's probably also, because that water travels sort of through the city, there's probably more other places it can be picking up wastes that might contain those kinds of flavor compounds. So yeah, it's kind of interesting to, now I'm sort of aware of it. I can, as I go from place to place, if I catch and eat the fish there, I can sort of, you know, compare and contrast to my home body of water, which is the lower Colorado, which is a shame because that, like, the lower Colorado is generally where I go fishing, where there's, you know, edible fish in finger quotes, because most fish are edible. But also I'm the least likely to keep it because of that, like, off taste, not off taste, but that muddy-ish taste. And a lot of people that grew up eating freshwater fish, like, don't notice it as much, but I didn't really grow up eating freshwater fish. So I definitely seem to notice it. And it's definitely just off-putting enough that I don't go out of my way to eat it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So it's a thing.
That's pretty cool, man. The first thing that showed up when I Googled is geosmin, like sugar beets or damp soil, certified beer flavor standard used to train professional beer tasters to recognize and scale the intensity of geosmin character. Kind of neat.
Professional beer taster is all I heard.
Now, JJ was once an award-winning brewer. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. True story.
Yeah, true story. I've actually won 3 awards brewing beer.
Really?
Yeah.
No idea.
Still have the certificates and everything. They were just local things, but I was a home brewer for about 10 years. And then I gave all my stuff to a buddy of mine, just because my wife was like, you haven't touched that stuff in 6 months. You're not brewing any beer anymore. Then we can put the cars in the garage if you get rid of this thing. And I'm like, can I get a new car when we do that too? And she's like, yeah, I guess. So I got a BMW out of it. So, you know, it's a pretty good trade-off.
BMW or brew, yeah. That would be, it's a tough one.
But JJ's claim to fame is he actually taught Sam from Dogfish Head how to make a pumpkin ale. And that was Sam's award-winning first ale. So if Sam hadn't stolen that from JJ, JJ might have an empire like the Dogfish Head beer empire.
Well, as you say that in jest, but I actually have met him, and I got him to sign my Dogfish Head picture or sign. I met him at a brewery thing at Alamo Draft House before it went under. He's a really nice guy. He's a really nice guy.
You said before it went under. It went under like 3 weeks ago. Literally everything is before it went under.
I'm just saying.
I like the old wise sense of that wasn't actually there. That was awesome.
Well, you know, it's one of those things. Podcast, you don't always listen to podcasts in order. Maybe in 10 years time somebody could be listening to this podcast. But
oh god, I wonder not.
I wonder why though.
It'd be interesting to see what happens with the Alamo. I would not be surprised if someone manages to salvage and keep a bunch of them open, because they are a cool concept, and you know, in theory, once all this stuff starts wrapping up, going to a cinema might be something people can do, especially something like Alamo, where you're not kind of crammed in anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, it almost feels like it's halfway to being a model for like somewhat socially distanced indoor activities, because it's that classic, like, it's a restaurant, a bar, and a theater all at once. So you need enough room to sit there and eat and have a table and everything. So it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Matt, a while back, you were trying to chase down a PlayStation, and you were like putting an army of like bots together to try and buy you one. Have you succeeded?
I have not succeeded with the bots, but
yeah. Oh my God.
Damn. He brings it up to the camera.
How did that happen?
It is very heavy. Holy crap. This router is extremely heavy. I got a PS5. After trying many times and giving up for a couple months, a good friend of mine texted me like, "Hey, I got one in my cart. But I already bought one for myself. Do you want one still?" So it was truly due to the kindness of a friend who doesn't have many hobbies.
Nice.
and I picked it up, and it got here today, like maybe an hour ago. It's in the box, weighs a ton. Like, the thing is a brick.
But I'm proud of you.
Why?
Well, you're here talking to us. You're not plugging it in and playing dumb games.
Yeah, I definitely thought about signing off immediately without it. I mean, I think that would have been the correct response in many ways, but I do really like you guys. So figured I'd show up. I also don't have a very pressing game. Like, I feel like it's one of those ones where like, I got it. Now what?
Right.
Because the first generation of games were like, all the reports are like, man, they really rushed this out. It's so buggy, so awful. And you're like, okay, well, I'll just wait a couple more months and download them, and they'll probably have some fixes. So
why not?
Now, do Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk on it. It's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to be really good.
Cool. I just know that it had like a digital problem with dongs flopping out of pants. Like, that's all I know about the premise of the game.
Yeah. Yep, that is a thing that happened.
So, now it's coming back to me that people were complaining on PS4 that downloaded it because it was just basically the exact same version that was going to PS5, but with none of the compute capable of rendering it.
Yep.
So just like flatlined.
It was the same with Xbox. So I actually got it, and I ended up returning it because of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This feels like many COVIDs ago. You were talking about just the awful experience. So yeah, I have a proper next gen system now. So
nice.
It does seem like a good explorer game, and I haven't got my Cyberpunk on in a while.
Speaking of explorer games, have you played the space game whose name I can't remember? No Man's Sky.
No.
It's actually pretty fun. So you basically have crash landed on a planet and you don't really know anything. And it's basically like you have to mine resources and collect resources and repair your ship. And then like you start building mining equipment and you start flying to other planets and you go to space stations to trade and you sort of learn a bunch about the universe you're in. And you basically, your goal is to like travel like inwards towards the center of the universe. And so you build like a warp drive so you can get to a place that has certain materials so you can build like an even more powerful warp drive. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. Yeah. It looks stunning. Yeah.
And really it's colorful, procedurally generated, but like it's once a world has been procedurally generated, it's just part of the universe.
Oh, wow.
And like there's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people playing it, and you're still always finding like undiscovered planets. So it's pretty cool. And then you can share, once you get to a point, you can use kind of like Stargate kind of devices. You can actually key in other people's like portal codes to get to a certain planet or whatever.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the only game I've been playing lately, I just, like, I had a hankering for, like, one-on-one fighting games. It's, like, a very comforting format to me. It's, I grew up on, like, the Mortal Kombat and Tekken and Soul Calibur series. But I haven't seen a really good one of those lately, but UFC is always a good substitute for an overly complex controller configuration and, like, a good surprise knockout here and there. So I've been playing people online and just getting absolutely destroyed. Like, where if you just make a wrong move or two and your stamina is low and somebody gets you with a knee or an uppercut, you're just out cold. And very entertaining, though.
Nice. I just hit the A button as many times as I can on fighting games, as quickly as I can. I... Don't actually know what an A does, but I'll just keep hitting it because I'm atrocious at those games.
Trust the old A button. Gets the job done.
Yeah, did you ever play the Metal Slug games? They were kind of my go-to, like, side-scrolly, arcade-y kind of game.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I fighting games were a favorite, and then I only got into first-person shooters after GoldenEye, which is, you know, a minute ago. But yeah, I like some of those, but just always, I think the Assassin's Creed series has been the thing that I've liked the most, and the latest versions of them have gone more into RPG and less into, like, that core tight, like, historical fiction storytelling that I find so fascinating.
Have you played the Valhalla?
No, that's what I'm. I mean, that's really what I'm debating in my head all day.
It's been a struggle. I enjoy it, but there is a little bit too much of the RPG-ish stuff and less of the sneaking around, slitting people's throats stuff.
Yeah, it's even really, like, you don't
start with, like, the assassin abilities, and there's, like, several hours into it before you can start doing that sort of stuff. I don't know. It just didn't click for me like previous ones have.
I have one question only. When you attack somebody, does, like, a number of damage go over their head? Or anything like that, where, like, you get this.
I don't think so.
Okay. I can tolerate. I like anything that's even remotely World of Warcraft type. Like,
You do have to, like, build a settlement and, like, look after people in town and do a bunch of stuff like that. And
yeah.
I'm not allowed to play The Sims anymore.
I can see, like, that with your personality would be like, yeah, I feel like unless you have an automatic input for your insulin, I'd be concerned for your safety, JJ. But yeah, I've played all the Assassin's Creed. I think Ghost of Tsushima is the best sequel to Assassin's Creed by far. Like, they just nailed it on the sneaky assassin aspects.
Have you played it? Because that's PlayStation only, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think they. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's gonna, you know, cross the streams there. But yeah, I finished it already. I want to play it again on PS5. It's supposed to be, like, even brighter and cooler. But it's just brutal and gross and perfect in that historical storytelling aspect. It's brilliant.
Maybe I should buy a PS4 now that the PS5 is out, because I bet they're cheap. I bet they're stupid cheap. What was that other game? There was, like, that zombie game, Left Alone or something like that.
Oh yeah, Among Us.
Among Us, that's it. I think that was another one that I couldn't play because it was.
Oh no, Among Us is the little dude, the sus people running around. Someone's killing.
Oh yeah, definitely not Among Us.
yeah, pretty much the same thing. Zombie game PS4. Nope. Wow, there's so many zombie games. Right. It's like you need to be more specific.
Yeah, doesn't matter. It is something like Among Us, though. Like, it's in that realm, that title.
Like Amongst Us?
Amongst Us, yeah. God damn it.
Somebody didn't talk to The Last of Us.
The Last of Us.
I couldn't let that go. You got it. What a terrible crossover. But yeah,
hey, now before we wrap that up, this up, because I did just remember something for us people that are into, I guess, retro gaming, and that is, there is a sequel to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Time coming out.
Get out.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think I saw that the same company actually did a sequel to the, was it Streets of Rage?
Oh
wow. Yeah.
So I've been meaning to look those up and see if they're actually playable on like one of the consoles.
Oh my God. Streets of Rage 4 is available on Xbox and PS.
Systems. Yeah.
Holy shit. Nothing tastes quite as good as nostalgia.
Right? If they have online play.
Oh my God.
That would be amazing. All right. Your job is to figure out if they have online play.
Yeah.
And if so, if we can either play cross console, either PlayStation to Xbox, or if we all have PlayStations or whatever. And that would probably be enough to get me to buy a PlayStation.
Yeah, that's that easy win.
Nice.
Well, y'all, we're coming towards the back half of this year episode.
So let's talk about cryptocurrency for a couple minutes.
I will punch you in the throat.
You mean that?
Were you serious, though?
No, no.
Okay.
Or yes. Okay. Yes, actually, no.
I'm just slack-jawed. I'm like, not you too, JJ. Not you.
They got to him. They finally got to him.
Whose coins do you have? Okay, but let's go to the hallway snack.
Hey, did you see this? Did you see that my...
Man, we cannot have a linear episode, and that is A-okay. What are you showing us on this audio-only medium?
I think they're like an R&B super band called Zarface.
Oh,
yeah.
And so I had to get one of their vinyl records, even though I don't have a record player, because it's got kind of my name.
Nice.
And it's got really cool graphics and art. So Zarface, it's a thing. Nice. I'll find someone that has, I mean, I guess I could probably listen to it on Pandora or something.
But
I'm going to stick it on a wall behind me on my green screen or something.
It is a very impressive cover. It looks like a classic comic book with
a
super villain.
Exactly. And it's Every Hero Needs a Villain is the title of the...
And it is very true.
Yeah. So speaking of heroes and villains... What are we all cooking?
Oh, God, Paul, that was so subtle. I have no plans yet. I need some inspo. Oh, that's not true. It's getting warm here again before it's cold again. And I'm obsessed with this. It's called Norwegian fjord trout that is available at like the local fishmonger here. And it's basically, it tastes just like a fatty, delicious salmon. So I get a huge fillet of it. It's got like this long layer of fat along the side. So you can see like the fat lines between the fillets or the little flakes or whatever you call them. Mm-hmm. And when I do a dry brine on that of just, you know, one, like two parts salt, one part sugar, and let that hang and, you know, do its absorption thing, and then throw that on the grill for a bit, it is just absolute heaven. With like I found it tastes different if I use like lump charcoal versus other charcoal. The lump charcoal gets a little bit smokier to it, and so like the smoky, crispy, buttery fish is just so fucking good. So I'm gonna cook up a big chunk of that. Others,
JJ?
Yes.
Are you gonna make tortillas?
No, I'm doing bread. So my little brother is in from Germany.
Is your dad
Germany.
Little brother?
Yeah, right. No, my little brother goes to university in Germany, and he's here for the spring break, something like that. And so my dad's really excited. So he's putting a bunch of stuff in his smoker, gonna make a bunch of brisket and all for a family barbecue, because a lot of us have our vaccines now, so we can do it. And including my parents, which was very surprising. They actually figured out a way to get it done. So we're gonna make some of my overnight bread and get that over there. So that's my plan.
I gotta say, like, we might not like the guy, but Trump did us so well by getting us the vaccines before he left office. Isn't it? I mean, I don't want to get all political and stuff, but isn't it amazing that, like, somehow they've twisted it in their heads that that's
what happened? People only say that before they're going to get political, which is A-okay with me, but I just can't let that go by.
No, but like, what I'm saying is I don't want to end up having a long political discussion, but
I hear you.
I just wanted to make that comment that it's amazing that we can twist it. But hey, whatever gets people into the vaccination centers, which I tell you what, Texas has just gone full bananas on vaccinating people. It's basically almost a free-for-all at this point.
Yep.
I think they're about to open it up for just general admission. But, you know, every Texan is obese. Like, because the BMI for obese is like 30 or whatever, right?
And it's 30, but have you done the math? Because I did that today. I'm like, I must be close. Like, it is what I told myself. I'm like, my BMI is 25. Or no. 20, 25, whatever, somewhere in there. And I plugged it in. I'm like, I can't be that far away. And I would need to gain 40 pounds in order to hit that number. And I'm still tempted. I did just finish the apple pie from Pie Day just to start to load up. But I think I better have some other disabilities before I get in there. Disorders. I'm sorry for your loss, Paul.
Well, I managed to scrape over the limit. You know, I may have weighed myself down with some, you know, lead weights in my pockets, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you're carrying a couple briskets and honey baked hams.
So totally. An interesting thing about this whole thing in Texas specifically, I didn't know this at the time. Turns out type 2 diabetes was part of 1B, not type 1.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't put type 1.
You can't be 1B. Cured, so we don't really care about your life.
Yeah.
That's what I just heard.
I went through it and I'm like, wait a second. I said I was a diabetic, but I'm a type 1 diabetic. And they specifically said type 2. And I'm like, oh, God. I technically wasn't allowed to get it. And they told me I still got it. But yeah.
JJ, if I can get in because I'm obese, you're fine.
And you're not obese. That's bullshit.
Hey, look, the BMI don't lie.
Hey, that's another good title.
If it rings, wow, never mind. I can't do
If it's clear, it's your window to weight gain.
What?
Like a Simpsons episode where they were eating like burgers or whatever, and the paper the burger the was like it went clear because of the grease.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was, I thought that like a doctor had told me that's how you know a burger's good. Shit.
I mean, it was a doctor, but it was on The Simpsons doctor.
Yeah.
Which counts.
Dr. Phil. Anyway, so JJ, you're cooking like one metric bread, any particular kind of bread?
So I have a default bread recipe now that I can do just basically without thinking about it now, with ratios and all my stuff. And I come out with two relatively good loaves. And I'm pretty proud on how it comes out and it looks nice. And I also now with y'all's suggestions or Paul's suggestion, I make homemade butter now before doing it too. So, and I make usually one with like some red pepper flakes and some with some garlic. And then I usually take that I'm planning on taking that to my parents' house. And that should be enough to keep the masses happy. So
cool, man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening all to this.
Oh, I don't get to talk about what I'm cooking.
No.
Oh shit, you're still here. Paul, what are you cooking?
So I got a couple of things going on. I made a big batch of mapo tofu yesterday.
Oh, you did? I want to make mapo tofu. Didn't even talk about this.
I make it all the time. We should talk because so good. Easy. Fun. It's really easy and cool. We could totally do a like cook along thing together. But I also made a new batch of tare because I lost my tare in the winter geddon. So I made a new batch of that, which then meant I had to make a batch of yakitori last night. So I brought out the old yakitori grill and filled it with pinchotan and got it burning. It's fun working. It's not technically pinchotan, it's like the cheap compressed wood version of pinchotan, but the similarity, the fire aspects of it are similar. So it's a little bit hotter and a little bit more consistent than, say, your charcoal.
I was absolutely drooling at your yakitori exhibit last night on Instagram.
It was pretty delicious. But what's amazing is it takes you like 25, 30 minutes to get that stuff lit.
Mm.
And you cook on it for 10 minutes, so then you have to put it back out.
Oh, yeah. It's like a grill.
Yeah. It's like if you're cooking like for a lot of people, like one set of Binchotan will last you like 4 or 5 hours. But I'm only cooking for like 2. So I only need like 15 minutes of heat. Mm. So it is funny that like I spend so much time lighting it and then I have to like put it out, which I've got a steel trash can filled with old like charcoal dust. And so I dump them in there and close it and oxygen starve it. And I get 3 or 4 cooks out of a set of charcoal that way.
Nice.
But yeah, it is. I just find it hilarious that it takes way longer to light the charcoal than it does to cook with it.
Very cool.
Oh, real quick, just while we're finishing this off. So I'm about to complete a goal of mine that I had when I was 18 in about maybe 10 minutes after this, we finish recording.
Really big dump?
No. So I've always wanted my
different dreams.
I've always wanted my bartending license. I always have.
Oh, wow.
I've never actually like sat down and figured it out. And I figured it out just recently. And it turns out in Texas, at least, it's like an online course that costs you $9 to do. So for 2 years, so as soon as we finish here, I'm going to finish the final test and I should have my, I should be a legal bartender in Texas now, which would be kind of cool. I don't have a job or anything for doing it, but I would have the card so I can legally, like if I decided to open up a brewery or whatever, there's more to that, but point being is I can legally sell. So that was kind of cool.
Cool. Congratulations.
So, you know.
Well, that's a nice high note to end on. Cheers to JJ and his future legitimacy in the bar industry.
Yeah.
And have a good weekend eating, cooking, and being merry, everybody.
Yeah. Bye. Okay, bye.